Navigate the retail revolution with actionable insights into consumer spending, powered by Affinity Solutions. By analyzing data from over 140 million cards, Affinity Solutions showcases consumer purchase behavior with unprecedented clarity. Seize the opportunity to reshape your strategy with accuracy, execute with precision, and measure with confidence. Affinity Solutions equips you to outperform in today's competitive landscape. Step into the future of retail analytics with Affinity Solutions today. Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, December 20th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Levo. Today's episode topic is our Retail Awards of 2023. Before we get into that, let's meet today's guests. Joining me for today's episode, we have VP of Content on our retail desk, Susie David Canyon. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Also with us is Senior Analyst Sky Canaves. Hey, Sky.
Hey, Sarah. Hi, everyone.
And also with us is Senior Analyst Blake Droche. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Sarah. Good to be here.
Good to have you. We've got a loaded cast of characters today. All right, let's get started with Free Sample. Our Did You Know segment, where I share a fun fact, tidbit, or question. I've got a multiple choice question for you all today. Pinterest put out its annual Pinterest Predicts report featuring trends it's watching for 2024. Which of the following was not one of Pinterest's predicted trends for 2024? So I've got four options. You're going to pick which one wasn't one of Pinterest's predicts trends. A, eclectic grandpa. B, bow stacking. C, hot metals. And D, rom-com core. Which one wasn't a predicted trend for 2024?
I'm going with bows.
I'm going with grandpa.
No, grandpas are the best.
Blake, I'm going to go with rom-com core.
No, all right. Everybody's watching Hallmark.
Eclectic grandpa is one of the trends.
Yay.
Oh.
It is one of the trends. Eclectic grandpa is the new coastal grandmother. Pinterest wrote, think retro streetwear, chic cardigans, and customized clothing. Bows are also in. If you start looking around, you'll really notice that bows are in. Millennials and Gen Z will embrace the art of bow stacking as they adorn their outfits, shoes, hair, and jewelry with this oh-so-delicate detail, Pinterest wrote. Hot metals are also in. Cool silver tones and bold chrome. They're so hot right now. Blake was right, although rom-com core was one of Pinterest's 2023 predictions.
I was going to say, I'm not seeing it in 2024. And I just have my finger on the pulse at all times.
Yeah.
So no disrespect to Susie.
It was relevant
Sky.
In 2023.
I am just shocked because everybody loves Hallmark. And Blake just shared
It's done.
Walmart thing. You shared the Walmart thing with me that was all about rom-com.
Exactly. As soon as it becomes a marketing vehicle, it dies. That's the rule of marketing.
That is the rule of marketing. Yeah, rom-com core was one of Pinterest's 2023 predictions. They wrote, people will romanticize their closets with slip dresses, tube tops, cargo pants, and claw clips. I'm definitely not ready to retire my claw clips in 2024. I'm wearing one right now, but I suppose I can add a bow or make it chrome. Okay, it's time for our next segment, which is our Retail Awards of 2023. It's our last episode of the year, and we are using it to dole out some awards. That's right, we've got four retail awards. I will be your host and presenter for this historic event. Sky, Blake, Susie, and I have discussed the categories and the shortlists. Our guests then voted for each category, but the official results will be a surprise to them. I'll break down each category and contender before giving our guests some time to discuss the outcome of the award. Sky, Blake, Susie, are you ready for the show?
Yes.
Ready.
Let's go.
All right. Our first category is the must-visit store of the year. That's right. We are heading to brick and mortar to identify which store was worth the visit in 2023. The nominees are Erewhon, the culty health food store loved by LA-based influencers and celebrities alike. Camp, the family experience company that sells toys and in-person fun. The Lego Store, which also hosts in-person experiences for building block enthusiasts. And Bass Pro Shops, the giant outdoor goods store that can also be an indoor playground for adults. And the winner of the Must Visit Store of the Year award is Camp. Camp kind of had a weird year. The store's money was tied up in Silicon Valley Bank, and when the bank collapsed in March, it sold items at a discount using the code BANKRUN to free up some cash. I can't speak to Camp's in-store experience. I haven't been to one, but I've seen the window. It looks cute, and it won this award. Thoughts from the group.
That was my pick, even though I didn't nominate it, but I did write a trend in our 2024 retail trends report that was about sort of refocusing on the in-store experience, particularly as a way to draw younger people back into stores and create, you know, an aura of fun around the shopping experience. Camp, obviously, you know, it caters to much younger kids than I was writing about. I was writing more about Gen Z, but I think that the idea is the same, right? I mean, there's an element of shopping that's not always about buying things. And if you can really build it around an experience, that helps build a brand.
Yeah, Sky, your child is the camp age range, right?
Yeah, they don't get much younger than that demographic. My daughter is 6. And one thing that ties all of the nominees together is really their focus on experiences. And I think camp exemplifies the experiential side of retail more than all of the others. We mentioned Lego, for example. Lego stores are great experiences, but Lego has their own separate discovery centers that are more around the experience of using Legos and entertainment focused. While Camp really integrates those both into their stores, I think of all of the retailers we mentioned, their stores have the least amount of retail traditional store space for selling products, and the most amount, more of their store space is dedicated to the events and experiences that they host. We attended their Encanto experience, which was a lot of fun. Music and dancing and singing and play spaces for the kids. And it was very immersive. It was really entertainment. And I think consumers nowadays are looking for that across generations, but especially the younger consumers. And it's really appealing. And then, yes, they do sell products as well. We didn't buy anything at the store, but we did keep note of some of the items that, you know, were fun to buy. And I think they're generating that additional source of revenue from the tickets and getting people into the stores to spend time. And it's just great all around for their brand building.
Well, I think, I don't know if all the stores are exactly the same, but I think Sky nailed it on the head in so many ways in terms of differentiation, in that they have a very small upfront area that is for items for sale. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that they are successful because they measure their successes, let's say, in different ways, right? It sounds like they spend much more time worried about the experience and the entertainment factor, which is a part of retail. It's what gets kids to go to camp. And then after, if the parent is like, oh yeah, I didn't spend enough money on all the tickets and all the things that we've done, so let's buy you something to remember this day by. It feels like they've figured out a way to do the revenue streams. You know, they're more adjacent than it is, because a lot of the experience stores, if you think about Lego, the experience is in the middle of the store. And so sales by square foot decreases, and it's figuring out how do you marry different metrics of success. And it seems like Camp has done that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who Camp partners with in the coming year, coming years, in terms of things like Encanto, that experiential aspect.
Yeah, they have a lot of partnerships with Disney, and they recently announced a partnership with Bonvoy to bring Camp to resorts, I believe beginning with one in Mexico, where the Kids Club will be hosted by Camp and bringing their, you know, experience and the brand and the fun associated with it. So it won't be the typical Marriott or Bonvoy Kids Club, but a camp club.
Okay, so next year we'll send Sky to Mexico to give us a review of the camp resort.
Yes,
experience.
Please.
I support.
Okay, our next category is the comeback story of the year. This is a brand or retailer that rose from the ashes to prove its worth in 2023. The nominees are Toys R Us, which closed its U.S. stores in 2018, but is now opening new flagship stores. Barnes & Noble, which competes with Amazon, but has leveraged BookTok on TikTok to stay relevant. Bed Bath & Beyond, which went bankrupt this year before being bought by Overstock.com. And Abercrombie & Fitch, which is cool again after falling out of favor for years. And the winner of the comeback story of the year is Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble opened new stores this year, even taking over some Amazon bookshops. It borrowed ideas from indie bookstores to stay cozy and cute, making it our comeback kid of 2023. Thoughts on Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, I've always found the Barnes & Noble story fascinating because when they really started to emerge as the dominant book chain in the pre-Amazon days, they were the enemy of the independent bookstore. Mm-hmm. Book lovers were very anti-Barnes & Noble. And then when Amazon came around and more book sales started occurring online, primarily through Amazon, Barnes & Noble became sort of like this, you know, it turned from a necessary evil then to sort of like a last chance, like haven for a physical bookstore in a lot of areas, particularly more suburban and rural areas. And I think it's one of those cases where their value proposition sort of reemerged out of necessity of not just a place that can drive book sales, but a place that can really like foster a community of people who need a space to read, to sit at the cafe, to just, you know, kill time, which has a lot of value in communities. And it's just, you know, it really actually kind of segues from the last topic in store. It's like building a brand from something that's outside of, you know, necessarily just being a merchant and selling a product, but creating sort of an alternative value, even if it's not an elaborate experience, even if it's just a place for people to go and to browse. It has a lot of value and it really speaks for sort of the everlasting value of the physical retailer.
See, I'm shocked that they've made a comeback, not because everybody's buying books online, because that's happening, and most people don't even read real books. I love reading real books, but a lot of people are reading them on their devices. But it's like they're not always located in a place where there's a lot of foot traffic. I don't know that people are like, okay, I need to go buy a book. So then they're going to travel 30 minutes to go buy that book. And so I will be very curious. I'm very happy for them. I think people should be reading books. I love that they're creating an experience around the idea of a book. There is a lot of theft that happens in general, but also like imagine you're at the cafe, you're reading your book, and then you put it back on the shelf. So it'll be interesting to see how they take care of all of that.
See, I think that their locations work for them. I am spoiled in New York City by having independent bookstores around me. But when I'm in the suburbs, Barnes & Noble does feel like a place that you go to, especially when there's not much else to do. And I also think their stores are really set up for content creation right now, which is like, you know, say what you will about people walking around bookstores making TikToks, but like that is a real thing and that's a real form of marketing for Barnes & Noble, and it's something that they benefit from. They have all their books lined up with the covers out so that they're really like aesthetically pleasing for content creation, and a creator or just a normal person can go there and make content that makes people want to visit the stores.
Well, back in the day, they were like that too. And if you think about when you're at the airport and there's the bookstore at the airport, also the covers are out. I think that's a marketing gimmicky mm-hmm. thing. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I think part of it is they got distracted in their mission of being more than a bookstore, where they were selling so many extraneous non-book items and becoming kind of this undifferentiated retailer. And now with their new strategy of empowering local store managers to really meet the needs of local consumers and what they're interested in, they're moving back to their roots as a bookseller rather than a seller of books and all sorts of other stuff that's more of a distraction.
Yeah, agree. Okay, it is time for our next category. Our next category is the Nearly Crashed, Slightly Burned Award. No one is beyond hope, so we're not calling this a crash and a burn. Instead, this award goes to a brand or retailer that offered us a lesson this year in their own mistakes. The nominees are Amazon Style, which closed its two stores in November after less than 2 years open,
Farfetch, the luxury fashion e-commerce retailer that had a tumultuous public run. Gap, which shuttered its retail media network in May. Gap also had a disastrous partnership with Kanye West back in 2022. And Saks, which has struggled with a luxury downturn. And the winner of the Nearly Crashed, Slightly Burned award is Amazon Style. Amazon Style was a failed venture into stores for the retailer and another example of Amazon brick and martyring itself. Do you guys like that line?
That was awesome.
Like that.
Great.
Thanks so much.
And it's true. It was literally like martyrdom. They were like, let me bring all the technology hacks in one spot and show you how cool that is. And it just doesn't work that way. If you're not making an efficient shopping experience more convenient, easier, then it's not going to work. And I admittedly did not go to a Style store, but from what I heard and what I saw, it felt like it was very cumbersome.
Right. The experience was not meeting consumer needs, which is more around having fun, having entertainment, discovering great new products or things you can't find elsewhere. And it sounds like a lot of the products in the Amazon Style store were the kinds of things you would find on Amazon online. They didn't really stand out, and the technology and the staffing issues made it kind of confusing from a consumer perspective. But I think of the four retailers that were nominated for this award, Amazon is the most slightly burned, like they didn't suffer too much. They're still one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fashion retailer in the U.S. They're the biggest online fashion retailer in the U.S. And they're continuing to invest in that business and trying to stay competitive there. They recently took the kind of unprecedented step of lowering their take rate for apparel, which traditionally was a little higher than other categories because apparel clothing tends to be returned more often. So they have higher costs associated with it. And they lowered the apparel commission from 17% to much lower rates for inexpensive apparel. And that's a way of trying to stay competitive against the likes of Shein and Temu, and now TikTok Shop, that are all getting into the low-cost fashion game and have been taking some of Amazon's share in that category.
I mean, I picked Amazon also because the lesson learned was a newer one, right? The Gap, not partnering with the right person. You know, that is a lesson in sponsorship that is not new. The idea that consumers want to have a more tech-enabled experience is new, and it's like execution matters. And so, yes, they didn't crash and burn. There will always be an Amazon. They will for sure try and figure out a way to do a store. They've closed lots of different sort of gimmicky store concepts, and this is another one that they're closing. Got to figure out how to bridge the gap between online and store in a non-gimmicky way.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon is not a retailer that I associate with like amazing consumer experience. And what I mean by that is, like, obviously I associate Amazon with like getting what I want when I want, like right away. I think of it as an easy consumer experience, but not like an interesting or engaging one. It's not one that I would physically go out of my way to experience. Like, Amazon search results are kind of not that fun as a consumer. They're cluttered. That Amazon has like a $30 billion retail media business. That's great, but it also means that the search results are inundated with ads. I don't want to see that in person. I'm not inclined to drive or take the train to go to the store and experience that same glut of sponsored results.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if Blake was going to weigh in, given how much he covers about Amazon and groceries and how they're always at a loss, kind of.
Blake, any final thoughts on Amazon?
I mean, like, if I could put on my Amazon PR hat, I would say, even though I don't totally agree with this, you know, I do think that they do release in-store concepts that they, you know, hope aren't going to fail and that they could actually build on. But, you know, they do historically say that their physical retail spaces are basically experimentation grounds for technology. So, you know, figuring out what works and what doesn't work, and, you know, keeping what works and ditching what doesn't work is sort of part of the plan here when it comes to their physical retail concepts. So, you know, they might not see it as a total loss, and it could be something that they would build on in the future. But I do think that there's a ceiling in terms of what and how often consumers will be willing to purchase apparel through Amazon.
Sure. Okay, we have reached our final category, the retailer you don't yet know but should. This is a retailer that may not be on your radar, but according to our analysts, it should be. Each of you submitted a retailer, so I'm going to ask each of you to sum up the retailer you submitted for this award in one line. Blake, why don't you tell us about Marti?
Yeah, Marti is an online discount grocery retailer that buys surplus inventory from brands and sells them at a discount.
Amazing. Thank you. And it has super cute Gen Z aesthetics on its website, similar to Flip. Skye, tell us about Flip.
So the latest iteration of Flip, which has been around since 2019, is a social shopping app that's based on user reviews, verified buyer reviews of products that they've brought through the Flip platform. And it's gained a lot of traction recently because it's paying high referral fees, both for new users to refer friends, and it pays reviewers based not just on their sales, but on views. And it also pays users just to watch videos. So it's really showing like the power of spending a lot of money to, you know, acquire customers and keep them on the platform. And then it's also getting quite a number of direct-to-consumer type of brands, like the Shopify type of brands, to sell on the platform, but not directly. They're doing everything through these micro-influencers. And so far, it has a lot of traction. Whether it's sustainable, whether it will stick around once the subsidies and promotions and referrals go away, that's the big question.
Okay, and Susie, why don't you tell us about B&H Photo?
I had voted for Flip, but now I'm taking it back. I also use it, and I think it's very cool. But if you don't think it's sustainable, then I'm taking back my vote.
You can't take your vote back. I already have the envelope. I've got the envelope in my hand, and it cannot be changed.
I picked B&H Photo because it is an electronic store that is years and years old. It's a one-hit wonder that has used technology to facilitate the shopping experience and to make their back end run more smoothly for well beyond the years that we've been talking about. And I think that when you're in New York, if you don't go visit that store, you're really missing out.
And the winner of our Retailer You Don't Yet Know Yet But Should award is Flip. I hadn't heard of Flip before putting our shortlist together, but it definitely fit our criteria. I had the same questions that we've been discussing, though. In an age of TikTok Shop, where TikTok also has all of this money to subsidize, to essentially sell things at a loss, and all of the creators, all of the audience is already there, I wonder how Flip will be able to differentiate itself.
I think one strategy it's pursuing is that it's limited to brand-only participation, so you don't have a lot of third-party sellers getting on board. And the brands can't communicate or sell directly to users or have a presence on the platform directly. They are really working with the influencers. The influencers or creators or reviewers, they're all kind of the same thing on Flip. They have to purchase the products on Flip and then provide their honest review. And there's not a big incentive for them to just promote an item to boost sales because they also get commissions based on the number of times their engagement, how many times their videos are viewed. So they're trying to create a more authentic platform without a lot of the promotional brand advertising. So I think brands can advertise on Flip, but by boosting creator videos versus having their own advertisements playing.
Well, I picked it. All of that is really interesting from an operational perspective. I picked it because the minute a millennial told me about it, maybe Gen Z, I'm not sure, I went and downloaded it and started, and I was racking up dollars and cents. Yeah. I was literally watching, I was going to say girls. I mean, they were girls. Girls light and then smell candles and bubble baths. And like, they were like unboxing bubble bath. They were doing all kinds of random stuff. And I was getting money for watching that. The videos are extremely short. So I didn't feel like I was really wasting my time. It was just like constant stream. And on the top right, you see your money accumulating. So how can you not stick there?
Catching.
Right? Yeah.
I've said this before. I've sort of hinted at this earlier. I mean, I think it's interesting that you say girls, because I think that like the next big thing is always where the teenagers teenage girls are. And once the marketers jump on that, it'll stop being cool. But
yeah,
until then, it's where the teenage girls are.
Well, it's definitely less cool that a Gen Xer just got up, like downloaded it a couple months ago and is like looking through it. But I didn't. Well,
that makes two of us. Oh,
well, I don't know. You're pretty cool and ahead of the game. I do also think from a brand perspective, I picked it because it's a marketplace. It's like a bazaar, an online bazaar. And it's like, as a brand, you need to be conscientious of all of the different types of retail platforms that are out there. And you can't close a blind eye because it's not where you want to be.
Right. And I think for brands that have gone on to Flip, they're trying it out. They're keeping an open mind. It's a pretty low lift for them in terms of spending or investment. So they're just testing it out. And for a lot of these brands, like the Shopify type of brands, the D2C brands, it's very expensive for them to acquire customers in the traditional digital marketing channel. So this is just a new opportunity and worth checking out for the time being.
Blake, any final thoughts on the outcome of this award?
I just thought it was unfair that Susie didn't vote for the store that she nominated.
Well, I thought everybody was going to be cool about that and not vote for their own brand. Like, I mean, Marcus
then
knows
I would have
that
been
I'm
the tiebreaker.
Marcus knows I'm very competitive, but I feel like it's weird to vote for your own. But I'm not judging you guys. I'm just saying.
Susie is judging you guys.
No, I'm
okay,
not judging.
That's all we have time for today.
Blake, did you vote for your brand too?
Of course, because I thought I had the best one. And I'm competitive. So, you know, I voted for my own.
That is all that we have
Canadian,
time for today.
No, I did not vote for mine. And I didn't actually understand what yours did. So that also didn't help. And I was familiar with Flip, which is a great brand.
They purchase surplus. They're an online discount grocer that purchases surplus groceries from brands and sells it at a discount.
Now I'm going to do that too.
I think Blake's might be one of the most useful, but it kind of reminds me of the sales that Amazon runs sometimes on grocery products as well, where you can find things for like super markdown.
I've been playing playing you guys off award show music for like the last like 3 minutes.
Oh no, it's like the cane that's taking us off the stage. Meanwhile, I was going to say there's another app, which I can't remember what it's called. Jeremy, our colleague, uses it, where restaurants, bakeries, bagels.
Too good to go.
Yes.
He introduced me to it too.
That is the coolest thing. I haven't tried it yet, but that sounds like a very cool thing. It's good to be sustainable. These are all good sustainable things.
I can barely hear you over our orchestra playing us
That's
all
why
off.
I picked Marty because I care
Thank
about
Thank you so much
it.
For being here today, Susie.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Blake.
Thanks for having me too. Use my discount code Lake20 for 20% off at Marty.
Thanks, Sky, for being here.
Thanks, Sarah.
Shame on you guys for voting for your own brand.
And
so
thank
rude.
You too. Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Insider Intelligence. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.